8.0, economic development. We have 8.1, Lane's Privateer Inn property lease. I would ask the Director of Economic Development, Jill Kirkshank, to come forward, please. And Councilor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on this one?
Sure. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the renewal of the property lease agreement with Lane's Privateer Inn in relation to Fort Point Lighthouse for a 3-year period starting April 1st, 2017.
Do I have a seconder? Councilor Fisk? Jill, would you like to give us a brief meeting?
Sure. Back on February the 14th, Council approved that Lane's were the successful proponent for the request for proposals that was issued in December for operating Fort Point Lighthouse on a seasonal basis for a 3-year period. And so since that time, we have worked on a draft lease covering as many of the specific requirements of the RFP as possible. Lanes have come up with some exciting ideas in their proposal, as you heard about last time, and they are very much welcoming that the community also still sees that lighthouse as their own lighthouse and are very welcome there. And we've met with Lanes, they've agreed with the terms of the draft agreement, which saves us approximately $30,000 a year on an average year for operating the lighthouse. And but we will still maintain ownership and pay the running costs.
Any questions of councilors? Councilor Johnson?
Good. Not particular to the lighthouse, but to these contracts in general, how are they actually administered to make sure that the people who enter into these agreements with the region do what they say they're going to do?
That's a staff responsibility to check that everything is being adhered to. So regular inspections, like we have the right of inspection, and you know, we have the certain reporting requirements, so if those reports don't come in, you know, so it's a monitoring, you know, sort of continual monitoring process.
But staff being from your department?
Yes.
Bill? Okay.
Any other council?
I can just make a comment. I think it's a great opportunity again to have a partnership with Lane's. And from the first year's experience, they learned a lot, we learned a lot. And I think continuing to assess it and look at it and provide the best possible service for the historic lighthouse area there and open it up to the community as well is really good to hear.
Yes, yeah. And to that point, the Lanes have to present a report to us at the end of every season, and so you know, there'll be that continual dialogue to discuss, you know, how things are going and challenges or whatever may be happening there. So yes, it's all in place. So excited.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favour of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. I would ask Heather Cope to come forward as well, if you would. We will move on to 8.2, which is the fee schedule, Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on this one?
I would. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the presented fee schedule for rental of the common display room and multi-purpose room proposed by Julie Bannon. And I think that should say in the Liverpool Arts and Cultural Center, doesn't mention that in the motion.
I think that the fee schedule is very clear on where it applies.
Okay. But it just says display room and multi-purpose room. That could be anywhere. I just think it should be included in that recommendation, the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center.
We can perhaps
have
a discussion on that. If I would get a seconder to that, Councillor Frelick, I would like to first ask Heather Cook to brief us on some of this before we do take amendments.
Okay, so as everyone's aware, Julie Babin with the Welcome Mat will be, her lease begins on April 1st. And as as such, she'll be serving as an agent for the Region of Queens and renting those rooms on the upper level, securing art shows and other events and activities, bringing life to that facility. And as such, she has set a fee schedule, which is required annually to be updated and approved by council. So the fees that she has proposed are primarily in line with past fees we've charged as the region at that facility, with a few amendments. She's included a weekly community activities line for ongoing activities that take place there all the time. So there are things that happen weekly, so as not to curb those or put a financial strain on those small organizations that are there all the time. A nominal fee of $2 per participant per time. And she's also set a commission rate on the art gallery shows, which I believe ours was higher. So next March, a new fee schedule, which may reflect anything that's come up in the interim that she may not have thought of with this, will be brought forward to council.
Now we'll come back to Deputy Mayor McLeod. Would you like to initiate an amendment?
Can I just do a friendly amendment? Then you won't need.
No, you would need to move an amendment.
Pardon me?
You would need to move an amendment.
Move the amendment? Okay. I move the amendment that be included in the original amendment the words at the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center after multi-purpose room.
Okay, do we have a seconder to that amendment? Councillor Muse? Have discussion on that amendment? Are you ready for the question on the amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous. So now we have an amended motion. Are you ready for the question on the amended motion? All those in favor of the motion as amended? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Heather Gill. We will now move to 9.0, which includes 9.1, Community Pool Exploration Committee, and we will have an update by our CAO, Commissioner Farmer.
Sure, very brief verbal update. Where staff are going to be putting all the information today on a web page that should be available next week under our Recreation tab. So minutes of these and past reports and surveys and everything should be available online for the public. We had our first meeting in early March. Next meeting is next week. First meeting talked about preliminary, what some of the desired features are that the Aquatic Society are looking at. We agreed that we need to do a public request for information to give some other pool suppliers and builders a chance to bring forward some ideas. We need to collectively get a better understanding of what some of the options and features and costs are out there of some recent, fairly recent builds of community indoor pools. So information will be available as we move on.
Any questions by councillors? Comments?
The pool,
Councillor Johnson.
Meetings are open to the public, are they?
Or it's just a small working group.
Okay.
That's what the intent is of making the page available to the public, so all that information is available.
Any other councillors? Great. We will move on now to 9.2, Municipal Financing Program, Well Drilling Information Update. CAO, would you like to give us an update?
Sure. So after the droughts experienced last year, provincial government provided municipalities the legislative authority to do some municipal financing program for well drilling. And we've been working with several municipalities, namely the municipality of the District of Shelburne, Argyle, and Barrington, on looking at this file. Primary reason for the update today is we won't have a program to bring forward before summer 2017. There's a couple of primary challenges that needs some work on. Currently, financially, there's some challenges with regards to the cost of what these projects would cost, and there's financial risk there. And technically, we still don't understand the best way to screen or evaluate whether a well is appropriate or not, and what the liabilities would be around that. So the work's ongoing, and just wanted to give that update.
Any questions or comments by councilors? Well, thank you. CAO. We'll move on to 10.1, heavy equipment rental tender. I would ask Director of Engineering Works, Brad Roeder, to come forward. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on this?
It's so recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give acceptance to the heavy equipment rental tender for the 2017-2018 fiscal year as submitted for various pieces of equipment, and that the rental of equipment is based on the rental schedule as attached.
Seconder for that motion, Councilor Fisk. Brad, would you like to give
sure.
us an update?
This is an annual event that we tender for hourly rental and rental for hauling gravel by the ton for local contracts in Queens County. Most of the rental is actually the tandem trucks, if you look at the value associated with it, and most of the haul and gravel, all there is some hourly rental involved for the tandems. There will be some again this year, that's for sure. It will take effect April 1st, obviously, in the new fiscal year. The prices are more or less the same. There's a few, I looked at them, they were slightly lower than last year, a few of them slightly higher than last year, but by and large are pretty much the same. We increased the price for hauling gravel by the ton by 2%, which we generally do every year, just to keep in track with cost of living. The actual uses, the amount that they're renting, the guys in the field, they keep a log and they distribute that equally in as much as possible. Sometimes, you know, people may think they want more than the other guys, but keep it as fair as we can.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Brad, I noticed Charles Ingram Construction applied late, so that means they're not in this scenario
at all.
They
submitted late after the tender closing, so we couldn't accept their.
Yeah. Is that unusual for them?
It happened one other time with another bidder 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
So
yeah.
It's happened with other tenders throughout the years here at the municipality. And when they're late, if they're late, they're late.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. I know that, but I just wondered what that comes from.
Brad, this list is pretty extensive. Is there any place and I'm only asking this because I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, could we go to one-stop shopping when I'm thinking like through the Queens County Truckers Association or something like that? Is that a group that we deal with that?
We never have. It's come up over the years, but we've always hired direct. We really don't have any issue with that at all, and that's what I'd like to do again. It's never come up as a request from that group to start with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I would have thought,
yeah.
Just my thinking was that could be a one-stop shop that saves you from all that
that's
administration
right.
piece. But if they didn't ask, it's not up to me to ask for them.
Councilor Mews?
No.
Deputy Mayor McBride?
Brad, just a question about the rotating basis. So if they all quote the same, you kind of put them on a rotating basis so that everybody gets sort of a
for instance,
haul piece of the action.
It's a standard rate that we pay, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would look, you know, how many days did this person haul? Because we don't want, let's say if there's 10 trucks, we may not want all 10 trucks to haul, obviously, right? So we might take 4 trucks, we might take 3 trucks, we might take 5 trucks, and they'll haul for a week or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go away, and then the next time it comes up, or tail end of the next one, the next group will come along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's an hourly rental, then it's based on the hourly rate. You know, so you wouldn't ask them to if they were going to be starting with like an hourly rate.
Any other councillors? Councillor Frehler?
Last year, and I can't remember the details, but Delaney Contracting had a complaint. Was that anything connected to this?
That was one that I referenced there. Some people may want, you know, may not see it being equitable, but the guys in the field, they take great care to make it equitable to everyone. What doesn't mean is not everyone's on at the same time. So some contractors may see three or four hauling and think they should be hauling, but their turn is next turn, not that turn, right? And that's how these complaints come up. And they come up all the time, right? You can only get your share. Just your share.
Any other councillor? Councillor Fancy?
Who is TNR Landscaping?
Port Mattoon. I can't remember the guy's name.
Port Lavere.
Port Lavere, is it?
Randall Wolf and Troy.
Fairly new, right?
Okay.
Yep.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Your hands, thank you. Thanks, Britt. We will now move on to 11.1, tax exemption bylaw, second reading. Councillor Johnson, would you like to take the lead on this?
Sure. I recommend that the council of the Region of Queens Municipality give second reading to the bylaw respecting tax exemptions. Of the copy that's attached to the motion.
Seconder to the motion? Councillor Frehler?
Reading, so I believe the information was all given the first reading around. If anybody has any further questions, we bring this tax exemption bylaw forward each year. Each bylaw, when changing, so the only change in this one, of course, is the dates each year and the odd change in the list of qualifying businesses. We bring it forward each year, and bylaws require two readings from council and advertisement in the paper.
Any questions by councillors? Any comments? Are you ready for the...
Okay. If I can just...
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
There was an article in the Herald today regarding a nonprofit church that was, that had space utilized by a private daycare operation, and that they were considering changing their exemption because, or charging them assessment, because it was a public, it was a private business in a public building that was exempt. So I think that's going to be coming up in our future, is that right? That could possibly be.
Well, perhaps I would ask Jennifer to clarify how churches are taxed and rated by Property Valuation Services Corporation.
They're not on, we wouldn't be anything that we would deal with on a tax exemption bylaw. Property Valuation Services actually exempt churches. It's one of the churches and cemeteries, right, are on their list. So it would be their qualifying, their eligibility that would change it on the assessment roll.
We don't deal with churches at all on our list.
No. Okay. Yeah, PBSC deals with it. And that would be, the caveat there would be the revenue generation. That would be the change. Because the charitable nonprofit piece is why they would be exempt on the roll for PBSC. And then if not exempt on the roll with PBSC, the charitable status is what allows us to allow them to be on our list.
I see.
Yeah, no, PBSC is the church grant.
Okay.
Councillor Johnson?
Can you just clarify, Jennifer, possibly who the Greater Molina Lake Landowners Association is? Because they have multiple numbers on.
These are actually small acreages, 1, 2, 3 acre properties. There's no resource value in these properties that are listed on here, and they're considered to be not saleable lands, so undevelopable lands owned by the Greater Molina Lake. They do own property that is for sale, and they do have a lot owners association, but that is not any of these properties. These properties would be kind of like swamp or wetlands areas, or areas that have been required within subdivision to be retained as green land.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We will move move on now to 11.2, 2017 group insurance renewal. Councilor Muse, would you like to take the lead?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the renewal of the group insurance plan with Great West Life for the year ending March 31st, 2018, as follows. Employee life insurance from 39 cents to 43 cents per 1,000 salary. Dependent life insurance, $4.45 per family, no change. Accidental death and dismemberment, 5 cents, 1,000 of salary, same. And long-term disability from $4.99 to $5.43 per 100 of benefits.
Seconder to that motion? Councilor Johnson. Jennifer, would you like to give us a brief update?
And again, as I mentioned, we had a slight increase, very little last year. I think it was 489 to 499 last year. And then prior to that, we hadn't had an increase since 2012. Normally, the other smaller amounts aren't amounts that change. The long-term disability amount is the amount that fluctuates and normally where we would see our increase. Once there's been a little bit of an uptake or use of the program, it kind of puts us forward then for those rates to change going forward. And there's always a possibility if it's not used for a number of years in a row, they will go down slightly, you know, kind of like the workers' compensation premiums do. But it's a slight increase. And as I said, we hadn't had one for a while. It was very slight last year, 2015. And prior to that, we hadn't had an increase since 2012. So long-term disability is the cost factor in our group insurance.
Questions or comments by councilors? Councilor Muse?
Well, we had a discussion before. So all the regions get together and have one insurance company? Or
the group insurance works a little differently than the medical and dental. The medical and dental, we are in with 50 other municipalities in the UNSF group plan. Great West Life, they do have other municipalities with them, but that's more something that municipalities will shop around with. A lot of municipalities, the usage varies amongst the municipalities based on the LTD, really, is the determining factor. We did shop around a number of years ago, and that's where we ended up with Great West Life. Every couple of years, I kind of look around to see what the changes are. We're well in line with all the offerings of other plans, and municipalities have kind of become a group that a lot of the life insurance policies and the group insurance policies don't like to take on anymore. They like to deal with the private corporations. So we're limited to who we can shop around with, but we're in line with the others anyway.
Any other councilors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to 12.1. Liverpool Lady Cougars, request for assistance. Councilor Fairwick, would you like to take the lead on this?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give 2017-2018 pre-budget approval for tournament assistance grant of $500 to the Liverpool Lady Cougars for the Hot on Ice Women's Hockey Tournament, May 12th to the 14th, 2017, to be funded from the Community Grants and Programs budget line of the Recreation and Community Facilities Department.
Seconder for that motion? Councillor Fisk. I would ask Megan Roberts if she would like to give us an update.
Sure. So this will be the fifth annual version of this tournament. It's been growing steadily. They expect it to have the most teams they've ever had this year. Their submissions aren't yet closed. They don't have a final number yet. But they said they're well in line with what they had last year, and they're thinking they'll have even more. It falls on Mother's Day weekend this year, so they suspect that maybe the families will travel together so that, you know, kids, husbands, so they're hoping it'll bring a few more people to the community, and so they're looking forward to it, and they're just looking for, obviously, the pre-budget approval for this because they're trying to figure out how much more sponsorship they're going to need to get.
Any questions, comments of councillors? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
It's always a great event they've really improved over the years. You know,
oh,
6 years their ice play. Not quite as good as privateers yet, but they're getting there.
One
yeah, it's
day.
Great to watch though. And they do bring a good crowd in now.
They do, yeah. It's grown steadily, you know, in the beginning it was mostly just the teams. but they've added the social events to it as well, and they're a really fun group to have.
Councilor Fisk?
Just one comment, I hope they don't melt the ice.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard on ice.
All depends.
Any other councilors? Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you very much. Thank you, Nick. We will now move on to 13-1, purchase and sale agreement, former Mill Village School. I do believe the documents are circulated. Councilor Fisk, would you like to take the lead on this?
Recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enter into a purchase and sale agreement with the Divine International Boarding School Society for the sale of municipal lands identified as PID number 70105879, and formerly known as the Mill Village School property, for a sale price of $1.
Move seconders. Councilor Kelly. Michael Cloud, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
Yeah, I guess just as a little bit of background. I guess with the when the school was closed back in 2014, the province passed the title, I guess, to the property back to the municipality. Since that time, it has remained vacant, and I guess we maintain that building on a minimal basis since that time. Back in 2015, council directed staff to initiate a process to determine if there was any interested parties in acquiring the property for other purposes, as the municipality didn't have any future use for the property. We had an appraisal carried out on the property by a commercial real estate appraiser who valued the property with the building at $45,000. There were no takers on the request for proposals to acquire the property. So we were basically back to the start and trying to determine what we're going to do with the property, as it was costing the municipality money to maintain that even on the minimal basis. So last fall we received an unsolicited proposal from a group which is now known as the Dubai International Boarding School Society to acquire the property for a private or for a boarding international boarding school. This society is now a registered not-for-profit society under the Registry of Joint Stocks. The Municipal Government Act allows municipalities to consider sale of municipal property to nonprofit groups for less than market value, that being the $45,000. So the request has come in by this not-for-profit group to acquire the property for $1 develop it for their international boarding school. So I think it's an interesting proposal. As one of the proponents has indicated this morning, it's not something we see a whole lot of in the Nova Scotia area. So it's kind of an interesting proposal. So with that, the Municipal Government Act requires if council is going to consider selling property for less than market value to hold a public hearing, which we had this morning. So now it's up to council to determine the sale of that property, and included in the package that was handed out is a copy of the purchase and sale agreement for the proposed sale of the property. So I guess there wasn't a whole lot of comments that were received from the public at the public hearing, but we did receive, I guess, a number of inquiries this morning, I guess, given the weather. Some people had indicated that they planned to attend but were unable to get in. So I guess there's a couple of questions were written down, and I guess just for council's benefit, I'll try to answer them as best I can. I guess the first question is if the not-for-profit dissolves or
does not move forward, what happens to the property. We've included in the purchase and sale provision that should something happen in the future, that the society ceases to exist and the operation closes, that the municipality would have the right of first refusal to acquire the property back if it so chooses. So so that option is there if such an event were to happen. The second one was that there's no information online regarding the company as a registered not-for-profit. It is actually a registered not-for-profit society. It took a lot longer for them to get that that status than they anticipated, but as of yesterday, they are a registered society under the Registry of Joint Stock, so that information is there as well. Question of how many local jobs it will create, and that I don't know. That's a question that the proponents would have to answer. Students from the local area, would they be available to attend? That again is a question that the proponents would have to answer. The economic impact. The economic impact is probably going to more center around the hiring of local contractors to do the renovations to the building. I'm not sure of the employment, whether local people would be employed, but they're obviously going to have to buy food, clothing, whatever, so they'll be utilizing local businesses from that perspective. So there certainly will be some economic impact resulting from the operation. Where will the students be housed? It's the intention of the proponents that there would be some dormitories created within the existing building at a startup. And I guess as things grow, they would see how they progressed. If they get up and things were going well, that they were able to accommodate more students, they would look at potentially creating more dormitories or adding on to the building or creating new buildings. Within the property to house the students, so they would be housed on site. They ask about how the Nova Scotia curriculum would be applied. They would have to determine that. And how much traffic will it generate? I guess the traffic would be more or less the teachers, the students themselves wouldn't have the ability to drive. So traffic impacts in the area would be relatively small, and certainly wouldn't be to the amount that it was when it was an operating school. So those were just a couple of the questions that were submitted as well.
Mike, if I may ask, are those questions from one individual or multiple individuals?
They are from.
Yeah, I can clarify. We received them from one individual in the community, consolidated the questions and gave them to us.
And do you have any other correspondence? I believe there was one more.
There was one written correspondence that we received yesterday that was distributed. So I guess for the record, we did receive one written submission for council's consideration.
Thank you. Councilors, any questions? I have Councilor Fisk first.
Mike, is there any possibility that this group could come to council and present themselves?
I'm certainly sure that they would make themselves available if
I think it would clear up some issues, if possible. I mean, I'm just asking if it's allowed or not allowed. Or
I'm not sure what issues.
Well, I mean, to just discuss openly their proposal, how they're going to develop forward.
If I may respond to that inquiry, Councillor Fisk. Marcel and Mary Kuhn were here this morning, as we all know, representing the DB International Boarding School, and they offered some brief comments. I think in addition to what they have provided this morning and previously, we should be in a position to gauge any action we should take as a result of this today, but by all means, I'm certain they would be willing to come forward at a later time and give us an update on what they are doing, providing this proceeds.
Thank you, Mayor.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I'm certainly going to support the recommendation. We've had several interested people in the past, which really never developed into anything. This is a surplus property. I think the use of it seems compelling to us. It's going to be interesting to have that sort of thing in our community. And I think from a future aspect of it, it might open up us up more to the international world, such as our international students who come here. We had 24 here this year. They've brought their folks to here, visited, and spent tourism dollars in our community. And from the community in Mill Village, I think it would be a welcome addition. And it would, and knowing the proponents, they would do everything they could to blend in, to provide something that was very well thought out. And I really feel that it would be an asset to provide them with this building for that purpose.
Any other councilors? Councilor Fancy.
Again, it's you're gonna have to do this by almost like faith when you're going into this, because I don't see any school aspect of it except for a place to go, because we're not seeing anything with curriculum or what they could do. I don't know, because I just don't know, because we haven't got any information. We just have to be saving ourselves selling the land to them, because it doesn't seem to, like, you know, I know, but like Councilor Fisk said, there's not a lot of information, except for just going and saying, okay, well, they're going to be an international school. I can't look at them as like international students as we have up here, because they go to our curriculum, go through, and they go past. So I don't know what they, you know, it's really, I wish we did have more information.
Councilor Kelly?
Mike, wasn't there a provision, did I read it in the lease agreement, that if they don't proceed with the school or bring a school to fruition as per their plan within a certain amount of time, that what happens, do we again have the option to sell to another developer or buy it back or something like that?
Yeah, I guess we get the right of first refusal. Now they're planning to be open by middle of December of 2018 is what they're looking at. So
yeah.
So I guess we would look at where they are. If they happen to not be ready for operation by that date, we would look at, okay, what has been done? Are they still progressing with their development? Maybe they're just behind in construction or whatever. So
what was the time scale?
Around the 20th of December of 2018.
No, I mean, for there was a specific, I understand there was a specific time period that would be looked at, or was it loose as to if they don't open when they say they're going to open, that we relook at it and see what the problem is? But there was the caveat in there to say that, like we would do with anything, you know, we put it forward to them and they have every best intention, but things happen, and if it doesn't come to fruition, we're just not going to leave it with them to sort of rot into the ground. We can take it back or buy it back.
We will evaluate, I guess, their proposal as of December of 2018. If they haven't progressed and done anything to, I guess, attempt to open that, then we will title the revert.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. Thank you. Oh, and just as a side note, too, I mean, as far as economic development is concerned as well, I know that this past couple of weeks or the March break that they were using a local realtor, and a number of people that came here, of their friends that are on the society, that they'll decide, obviously, coming here hands-on at the school, the president and whatnot, from about, you know, four or five different locations, and I think they're in the process of buying locally in Liverpool at least three houses. So it's always such a good news story as well. Economic development is starting already.
I have Councilor Johnson next.
I just got a procedural question. We've got this list of questions in this email from another person. Would have it not been appropriate to ask those questions this morning when we had the open meeting?
The meeting was together.
Because all these questions that we have, we'd like to know more information. We could have cleared that all up this morning, could we not?
At this point I'll clarify, the public hearing was for input. It was not a hearing to provide answers to every question that may have been asked. It was to receive more input. That's part of the Municipal Government Act of a public hearing. It pertains more so to the ability for us to sell it for a dollar under the Municipal Government Act, more so than the operations of the school. So,
right.
Yes, I have Councilor Fisk who had his hand up.
Just quickly, it's interesting this morning with the public hearing,
and then one individual sent questions in, and but it's clear to me that the community, if they were really interested to be against this at all, they would have been here, even though there was icy roads. I mean, we all came. Just a quick quote.
Councilor Hanson, you had your hand up.
Okay, yeah. The only other thing with the buyback is that, too, is we always have to keep that in mind. Say if they decide that they want to go forward and they spend $40,000 in there to try to make it as it is, when we buy it back, we've got to pay them the $40,000 above and beyond, and then we might have a whole building with $40,000 if we want it back. Those are all things just to consider, because any money they put into it would have to. So it's just a matter of buying it back.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
If you look at number 6 in the agreement, it states that if they're not operational by December 21st, 2018, they get it back from the dollar. Or after it's opened, and then they decide they want to sell, we have the right of first refusal.
Yeah.
So I think by December 18th, they should know what they're going to be doing, and December 2018 is a year.
Any other councilors? We've had a run around a bit.
That's what it's all about.
Any more questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is. Those opposed? It is 7-1. It does pass. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. We will now move on to 14-1, RCMP monthly report for information purposes. Anyone have any questions or comment on the RCMP report? Again, any questions or comments on the RCMP report? We will move on to 14-2, Bylaw Enforcement Officers Monthly Report. Any questions or comments on that report? And we will now move on to 14-3, Building Inspectors Monthly Report. Again, any questions or comments? Hearing none, we have nothing under 15-0 other. I would entertain a motion to go in camera. Moved Councilor Fancy, seconded by Councilor Fraley. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. I would call a 10-minute recess.